We will be continuing through the book of 1 Peter, and today we'll be reading through chapter 4, and we'll go from verse 12 to 19, or the end, however you choose to look at that. So hopefully you're all there now. If you don't have anything with you, lucky you, because you can listen to me. But here we go. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Hello. My name is Andre. I am a first year ordinand at St. Philip's, which basically means I'm training to become a vicar in the Church of England. And it's really great to have you with us, to have you a part of our church service today. What I'm going to be speaking on is part of our longer ongoing series on 1 Peter. And I realise as you watch this, things might pop up on your laptop which could distract you. You may be tempted to put on social media how long you think my afro is. So before the distractions come and all the things which might take our attention, I want you to go away with this phrase. If you remember nothing else, remember this phrase. Life can be rubbish and we will suffer, but we never suffer alone. Life can be rubbish and we will suffer, but we never suffer alone. And 1 Peter is a book about trials. It's a book about suffering through persecution. And as soon as you say the words suffering and persecution, it can be quite controversial. And it can bring up a lot of stuff for a lot of different people. So I just want to say, you know, at the very start of this talk, I apologise if anything I say is taken out of context or gives the message that, you know, God's punishing us or God hates us when we suffer or anything like that. That is not what I'm trying to communicate at all. So I apologise in advance if anything I say comes across like that. And in some ways, when you say the word suffering, it's quite unhelpful just to use that word, because suffering isn't universal. It's not like we all suffer in the same way all the time. There are different types of suffering, emotional, physical, economic suffering. It may last for years, decades for some people. It may be much shorter than that for others. So suffering isn't universal. So I was reflecting on this and thinking about what to say. And I think it's important at the start to just state that 1 Peter is specifically about suffering through persecution. That's the type of suffering 1 Peter explores. It's not the same as suffering through adversity. And what do I mean by that? Well, just to give you two examples of times when I've suffered. A while ago, I was part of a BBC documentary over 10 years ago now, makes me feel very old. And on that documentary, I got up and said, I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, I'm practicing waiting to have sex until marriage. You know, because of my Christian beliefs, this is the path I've decided to choose in terms of sex and relationships. And when I walked around, I started to get spotted by some people. And there was one time when I got spotted by these group of lads who were my age. There was quite a lot of them. I was on my own. They started shouting, oh, you're the guy off the TV. You're the Christian. You're the virgin. And they started to shout a lot of things at me as I was just walking down the road. Another time when I've suffered is there was one time I got mugged. Someone tried to take my phone. I was in the wrong place, wrong time. What obviously wasn't a nice experience. And it could have happened to everyone, but it happened to me. And there is a difference there. In that first story, I was getting abuse, I was suffering, because I was a Christian. I stood up and said, I'm a Christian and I'm living life this way. And that group of lads were targeting me because I said I was a Christian living a certain way. The second story, when I got mugged, that could have just happened to anyone, at any time, anywhere, wrong place, wrong time. And that's the difference. Suffering as a Christian, being persecuted for being a Christian, is different to suffering adversity. And 1 Peter is specifically looking at suffering as a Christian. And we are all suffering adversity at the moment. This COVID-19 situation, this lockdown, is happening to anyone. Anyone can get COVID. We are all under lockdown restrictions. We've all been going through this together. But the passage that we've just read and the passage we're going to look at in 1 Peter 4 specifically talks about suffering as a Christian. And that is different to suffering adversity. That's different to what we are all going through as a nation. It's different to going through something which could just affect anyone at any time. And this has been said by different people in this series, explicitly or implicitly. I just wanted to make that clear. That we can't just say 1 Peter talks about suffering, so we can directly apply it to all types of suffering we go through, because suffering isn't universal and it happens to different people in different ways for different reasons. But that's not to say 1 Peter isn't relevant. It's not to say that it can't help us. It can help us in life's ups and downs. I just think it's important to frame it as we move forward. And especially when thinking about COVID-19 and the lockdown and everything that we've been going through, it has raised many questions about suffering. But today, I'm not going to try and answer them all. We're going to look at this specific question about suffering persecution as a Christian. And what can we do? How do we make sense of a life which involves suffering? How do we make sense of a life which involves suffering, particularly when we are suffering as a Christian? And as lockdown eases and things in some respects will go back to normal, as things start to change, as lockdown restrictions ease, suffering will still continue in different ways. We will go through suffering in different ways. And so how do we process that when we are persecuted as a Christian? So not general adversity really, but as a Christian, how do we get through life's ups and downs with Jesus? And for those of us who have suffered as a Christian, maybe in work or similar to a story I've shared, or maybe even one that's been worse and something you've gone through, it is a question that really needs answering and one that we need to think through. And let's not forget, for many, many Christians around the world in non-Western countries, they get persecuted for their faith, often thrown in prison, sometimes go through physical suffering, and sometimes even death and martyrdom. In fact, being in the West, where we have protection, where we don't get economically or physically abused because of our faith, is actually in the minority around the world, if you look at the experience of most Christians. And it's actually an anomaly for most of history as well. Most Christians suffer some way because of their faith. So what do these passages say to us as we think about suffering, as we're in this situation where suffering, thinking through what does life look like as it goes suddenly down and up again and maybe down again? What can these passages, what can God's word say to us? And I want you to go away with that phrase. Life can be rubbish and we will suffer, but we never suffer alone. So suffering is prominent in the book of 1 Peter. Persecution as a Christian is a key theme. In 1 Peter 3:13, it talks about it both as a reality as well as an ongoing possibility. In fact, most of the verbs in the original Greek in this book indicate ongoing suffering. So Peter isn't writing this book thinking, oh, it's just a one-time thing, it's just a one-off event. The idea is that this is going to be ongoing. And as we turn at the passage we read in chapter 4, we see it written again in verse 12, which I'll just quickly read again. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come to you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. And this fiery ordeal is linked to that verse in chapter 1, verse 7, where it talks about refining fire, which, if you were able to join us, Gareth spoke about a few weeks ago. This idea that this fiery ordeal, this thing that we go through in order to you know, bring up some of the rubbish to the surface. And Christians should not see suffering as a surprise. That is part of the Christian walk, that we will suffer, that we'll go through this process. That we shouldn't be surprised when suffering comes, when we suffer persecution as a Christian. And that's really an important thing to say, because as I said at the start of this talk, we could talk about suffering, but what type of suffering? Because it's not universal, it's not always the same. And chapter 4, verse 13 to 40 makes it very clear. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So clearly this is linked to suffering as a Christian, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ. Not saying if you're suffering because you break the law or you do something which then means that there are consequences. This is specifically talking about suffering as a Christian. It's about being united with Christ. And when Christ was on earth, his message angered the world and essentially got him killed. And when we carry the same message, we can expect to have rubbish thrown at us, to be persecuted, for people not to understand, for people to react angry and negatively. This is what Peter is saying as he writes this. But that verse also says, the Spirit of glory and God rests on you. Life can be rubbish and we will suffer, but you will never suffer alone. The Spirit of glory and of God rests on you and draws close to us, particularly during these times. And the cross is the ultimate demonstration that when life is rubbish, that when life is tough, that when this Christian message angers people and causes them to react negatively and ultimately take Jesus to his death, that Jesus didn't say, I'm going to take the easy route out. The cross shows us that God is with us in the suffering. God doesn't shy away from these questions. God himself doesn't shy away from these experiences. He says, I am with you. I am with you. And the cross shows us that that is true. And this idea of rest on you, that phrase, rest on you, it's not like a trial. It's not like God is saying, oh, I'm going to try and, you know, make this person suffer in this way to see if they're good enough. I'm going to do this because they did something last month, which means they deserve to be punished. It's not like a trial and that we go through, and if we get a big tick at the end, then God will be with us. It's saying that God's Spirit, his glory, rests on you right now. He is with us in the suffering. He is with us as we walk this path. And picking up from verse 15, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. It should not. It should not be as someone who is wrongdoing, who is a mischief maker. That word meddler actually has that sense to it, this sense of wrongdoing. That the words kind of give this sense of evil. It's not talking about suffering because of consequences, because we've done bad things and we deserve to be punished. It isn't what Peter is communicating in this passage at all. And verse 16 goes on to say, however, if you suffer as a Christian, so not as a murderer or evil person, you know, someone who's done something wrong and deserves to be punished. Peter's saying, however, if you suffer as a Christian, for carrying this message of Christ, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. If we suffer as a Christian, as Christ's representative, we shouldn't be ashamed of it. We shouldn't think we've done something wrong or we don't deserve God's love or anything like that. We suffer because the world is not positive towards Jesus' message. And this phrase, bear the name or under the name, or more literally, you could translate it in that name. Caesar has the sense of, you know, acting in the name of Christ. As one who represents Christ to others, we will suffer as one who represents Christ to others. And so, you know what? Life can be rubbish and we will suffer, but we will never suffer alone, because the cross shows God is with us in the suffering. His Spirit rests on us in the suffering. So verse 19, It says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful creator and continue to do good. God's will is probably the hardest bit of this passage. You know, could it mean God causes it? Some theologians, some people would actually argue that quite strongly, that God does cause the suffering and trials we go through. Or is it that the world is a bad place and it's been marked by sin, and so our actions lead to negative consequences for other people, and their actions can lead to negative consequences for us? And when sin came into the world, even nature itself was broken, and so it doesn't work like it should, and so we get things like disease, etc., etc. Who knows? Who knows? It could be argued from here until, you know, next year what this means. But the fact it says God's will, at the very least, implies that God is somehow in it. I wouldn't go as far as to say he causes it, and I'm not comfortable saying that. But this idea that is God's will means that it's not a surprise for God. That it's not like God is sitting there saying, oh, they're suffering because they're a Christian. Or, oh no, what should we do? Something's gone wrong. Yes, something has gone wrong, but it's not unexpected. God's will means that he is with us in it, that he saw it coming. And that we shouldn't be surprised that we suffer when we carry the message of God. When we suffer as Christians, we shouldn't be surprised. And God understands and he is with us. Because life can be rubbish and we will suffer, but we will never suffer alone. And I just want to end by sharing a quick story, because I remember a while ago a story of a young person who, not part of this church, it's part of another church I was with, who'd had a very hard life. Obviously not going to go into detail, but had a very hard life. And when he was a teenager, he became a Christian. And he was talking to this woman who was an atheist, who thought that, you know, this person isn't genuine. He hasn't really become a Christian. And if he has become a Christian, it's only because he doesn't really understand what's going on. She was quite cynical about it, quite patronizing. So she was talking to him about, why have you become a Christian? Why have you made this decision? And he was talking about it. And then he said to her, but look at your life. Look at the life you've had. Your life is still rubbish. Look at all of these problems. You know, how can you follow God? How can you say you want to follow Jesus with all this rubbish going on? And he looked at her, and I'll never forget this. He looked at her and said, I'd rather do the rubbish of life with God than do the rubbish of life without God. I'd rather do the rubbish of life with a God who promises to be with us, who himself suffered and knows what it is to be persecuted for the message of God. I prefer to do the rubbish of life with God than do the rubbish of life without him. Now imagine if we were people who ran towards God. Suffering, particularly persecution, can cause us to say, maybe it's easier if I turn my back on God. It's easier if I run the other way. You know, life isn't great and this amazing, entertaining, easy, comfortable a thing, which I hoped it would be. So maybe if I run away from God, I can find all of that. But when we suffer, particularly when we suffer as a Christian, Peter is exhorting us, he's encouraging us, he's reminding us that we need to run towards God. And this is true for all types of suffering, but particularly when we suffer as a Christian, we need to run towards God. And my prayer is that this is more than an idea, but a reality. And like that young guy who became a Christian and life didn't become easy, God didn't wave a magic wand and say, you'll never be persecuted, you'll never have to go through this bad thing. But he knew doing it with God was better than doing it alone. So I encourage you this week, I ask you to do this for 1 week at one point every day. So not asking you to do this for the rest of your life, but just for the next 7 days, either set an alarm on your phone or when you wake up, or, you know, put a note on your fridge when you go and get breakfast, whatever works for you. But for one moment every day for the next 7 days, I want you to say this prayer. God, show me I am not alone. Once a day for the next week, just say a simple prayer. God, show me I am not alone. Life can be rubbish and we will suffer, but we will never suffer alone. Peter reminds us, God is with us, his spirit is on us. Suffering is not a surprise to God, it should not be a surprise to us. And unfortunately, life is rubbish and we will suffer. But we never suffer alone. God is always with us.
Well, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Let's take a moment to allow that glory of God to rest on you. As Peter wrote about. And where perhaps you're able to bring to mind a place in your life where you've been laughed at or mocked or accused in some way because of your faith. Perhaps today where that's caused questions and concerns and confusion for you. Beginning to try to see it the way that Peter suggests that we could. That we are sharing in the sufferings of Christ. We are like our teacher, like our master, like our Lord. And it says there in verse 13. That we can rejoice as we participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Thank you, Lord, again for the reminder that this life isn't all that there is. That when you reveal your glory as you did on the day of the resurrection, and as you will when Jesus returns to sort everything out, you will set everything right. And Lord, we want to live our lives in humility, loving and serving others, just as you did, Jesus. But we're aware that that doesn't always go down well, that some might ridicule us or accuse us. And Lord, we commit this day to be your people. And as Peter has written in previous verses, that we might pursue holiness. As Andre said, we'd run towards you. That Lord, we wouldn't have suffering because of any wrongdoing or injustice. Lord, that we wouldn't be murdering or stealing, and that wouldn't be why we might suffer wrong, but that if we suffer wrong, it will be because we're doing our very, very best to follow you. And we thank you that in the midst of it all, you are faithful. In the midst of it all, you give us hope. And so we come to you with our brokenness. We come to you with our grief. We come to you with our confusion. We come to you with our hurt. And ask you, Lord, that you would meet us where we are at this day. That you'd fill us afresh with your Spirit. And perhaps as you're praying right now and there's something going on for you physically or mentally or emotionally, that you can just invite the Holy Spirit into that. Come, Holy Spirit, and heal me, I pray. Just ask him. Ask for the Spirit of the glory of God to rest upon you, to restore hope.